A midweek Wednesday edition of Connecticut Today for you on August 5th, the day after Tropical Storm Isaias. We talked a lot about who had power, who didn't have power, and also listened to some of the comments from a high-ranking Eversource official and Governor Ned Lamont, the governor not happy about the power situation.
I have a little experience with outages. I come out of a utility-like business called cable TV. Only our outage just impacted back then video. Now it's communications as well. And this is electricity. This is life-giving to people. This is people who can't survive many cases without it. This is seniors who maybe are at home. I'm trying to get people to work from home as best I can. I don't want them going into a business. And now we have 700,000 of them without power. So, you know, first thing I felt strongly about as we were there talking, Greg and Jim and the team, is I want them to feel the sense of urgency that we felt when there's an outage. I want to make sure that we put every person we can on the table to make sure we're taking care of this. I don't want any excuses, and we're going to do some assessment. We'll have to figure things out over the next few days. You know, to Eversource's credit, we've got already 200,000 people back up, and that's not good enough for me because I know how this impacts people. So that's the first thing I urge, is find people wherever you can and get them here. Why weren't they pre-positioned 5 days ago? We'll have plenty of time to analyze that later. Right now, I've got a house on fire, so to speak, and I need the fire department there fully staffed, fully peopled, so we're ready to go and take care of that. And then more broadly, working with Marissa and Pura, we're going to see what we've learned over the last 10 years, what we've learned since Sandy, what we've learned as we tried to modernize and to harden, if you will, our grid situation. And we put, and Eversource has put, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of redundancy, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of remote status monitoring, doing a lot of the things that I would have hoped limited the scale of the damage. But 10 years later, this is one of the worst outages we've ever had. And to be blunt, I don't see much progress made for all the investments we made in terms of hardening, strengthening, and modernizing our grid. And we'll have a chance to take a look at that as time goes on. But in the meantime, I just urge Eversource, I urge United, make sure we have the people in place. We've got the emergency order out there now. We've activated the Connecticut Guard. We'll be there doing everything we can to clear trees, clear roads, with their help in terms of getting those hot wires out of place so we can start repair. Right now, it's been safety predominantly this first day. We've got to get this state up and operating again with a working electric system, and I want that done overwhelmingly by the end of this weekend. I'm going to try and hold people accountable as best I can.
Elected leaders, senators, town managers for Select and Upset, and share some of those concerns. One of the issues that they raised, that there were people having difficulty even making phone calls, the automated system was broken. And the other thing is that they do have crews, but many of them come from out of state. And they feel that Connecticut would be better served with local crews and local workers.
Yeah, but we have a statewide outage, and there's not enough local crews to do the job. I'm saying bring them down from New Hampshire, bring them down from Vermont, bring them down from Canada. I think Jim said we're probably going to double the number of crews within 24 hours or soon thereafter. And I have said don't stop there. There's a lot of parts of this country, the Midwest, that weren't hit, by this nature of this hit the way we were. Get those people here as well. I can tell you when it comes to linemen, when it comes to electrical, when it comes to tree work, we need those folks in state and out of state.
Did you hear anything today that encouraged you that things are going to get better, or is it much of the same?
No, I'm not going to say that. It's only day one. But I am from the Show Me State, and I want to see the good words in there turned into action. I think we'll be able to test the results very soon.
Governor, your line crews have gone down every year for 10 years. Wouldn't it be better to have your line crews here? Fine, you can get the people from Pennsylvania, you can get them from Ohio, you can get them from Michigan. It's going to take 2 days to get it. You have to organize them. You have to get them going, and you have to set them up with somebody who knows the area. they don't know Connecticut. So you want to get it done by the weekend. But wouldn't it be better to have line crews here, line crews that know the state, line crews that know how to get around and not rely on crews?
Well, I'll let Eversource answer that question. But look, you don't want to have full-time staff for the very worst type of outages like we have all the time in real time here. That's not the way anybody can do it. What you want to have is pre-positioning as best you can, be able to bring those people out in like the fire brigade on very short notice to get that done. The first 12 hours, we're doing a lot of clearing. We're clearing the roads, taking those unsafe wires out. I need the people in place now, or certainly within 24 hours to start repairs.
But if they lived here, wouldn't they be in place? That's like saying, we need the fire department, but we don't need them all the time.
Look, if you want to keep triple the staff here all the time, would that be better? Sure. I think it's reasonable to say, let's make sure we have enough people to take care of what we got to take care of, and make sure within 24 hours we can bring in the reinforcements. And it's been 24 hours.
Yeah, why don't you take that?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Craig Hallstrom. I'm the president of electric operations for here at Eversource. You know, the first thing I want to say is we fully understand the magnitude of this event and the urgency that we need to take in order to get our power back to our 600,000 customers who are without power today. We've restored since the storm ended last night, or late last night, we've restored about 200,000 customers. And that was primarily done by investments that we've made in smart switches, intelligent switches. So switching that was done with a control center without the need of line crews. So those are some of the tools that we've invested in that help us keep the lights on.
Can you say how many line crews and how many tree crews you have currently working in the state?
Sure. So right now we have approximately 450 electric restoration crews. That's line crews, first responders, and we have 235 tree crews. That number will double in the next 24 hours as we bring in additional crews from outside the area, both in New England, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and outside the area.
Have you been able to finish doing your damage assessment, and so do you have any sort of restoration plan that you can give to people?
We don't. So the storm just ended last night late. We have people out on the streets. Our first priority, of course, is the safety of our customers, the public, our communities, and we're working very closely with our communities to do things like unblock roads that may be blocked by trees and wires down, so emergency services can take place, and we free up police and fire to do other important things that they need to do.
Were there transmission lines down, though?
We've had some problems with transmission lines, but the problems we did have didn't have a significant customer outage. Those are being addressed as well.
Senator Needleman, who's the co-chair of the Energy Committee for the legislature,
yep,
said his sense is that your business model has shifted and that you have fewer line crews available and they're using it in the three-state area to shift them around. Has that changed since the...
No, I mean, I respectfully disagree. We have a sufficient amount of internal crews and contractors to manage our day-to-day business and your everyday, storms, lightning storm, wind storm. This storm will be probably the second largest storm in the history of the state. This will be bigger than Superstorm Sandy. Superstorm Sandy had about 500,000 customers impacted, about 7,500 damage locations. You know, obviously we have more customers impacted, and right now, although we haven't finished our damage assessment, we have about 8,000 outage locations and another 6,000 non-outage locations. So there's no utility in the country that would staff to handle this type of magnitude of storm every day.
I don't think that's what the center is suggesting. But so aside of what you view as sufficient, has that changed since? Excuse me. Has that changed since the mergers?
The net number, I will say probably no. I mean, we've shifted some people around. We've created a first responder group here. And we're staffed at the level that we're allowed to at Pura.
The net number in Connecticut has not changed throughout all this?
Subject to check. We've changed the way we organize line crews and first responders. For example, we put over 100 people as first responders 24/7 to handle outages every day. That didn't exist prior to the merger. That's our way of getting to customers quicker when they have their lights out.
And do you have any, to the layman, they look at these numbers compared to Superstorm Sandy and they ask, well, why? Can you give us any meteorological or technical explanations as to why that might be?
I cannot. I mean, certainly it seems like we've had more storms now than in the past, but I'm not a meteorologist.
So the 450 crews that you say you have online, how many of those are standard, in-house, Eversource, here every day crews?
We have so maybe 250.
So over 200 of those are already out of state.
Or they are contractors that are here every day. So we have our internal line crews who do construction. We have our internal troubleshooters who do construction and emergency response. And then we have contractors who are here every day working for us, just like they would be internal line crews.
One of the other concerns that we heard from town leaders was that Eversource has been cutting back trees, and we've seen that. But they don't. They only cut trees that are on main lines that affect a massive amount of people. Whereas if you need a tree cut, that's not a priority. Is that true?
No, if a private customer has a dead tree on their property and it's risking impact to our wires, we will take that tree down.
And the other question I have, so with all of this and the governor's concerns and people are upset, what can be done? Can you do anything differently? Are you willing to do anything different? Do you see the need for that? And where do we go?
So we do. We do enhance tree trimming. We would like to do more tree trimming. We invest quite a lot in grid modernization, smart switches, self-healing, new SCADA systems that give us more intelligence of what the system is doing. So we have invested significantly in the system, and I believe if you look back several years, you'll see our reliability has actually increased, last year being the best year ever for Connecticut reliability performance.
And before the storm, were some Connecticut assets sent out of state in anticipation of damage elsewhere? Was everybody here? Was everybody ready to go?
Yep. We started planning for this event on Thursday. And again, we're in a pandemic. So, you know, we have a very well-defined, drilled, and organized response plan. But given the pandemic, things have to change. We have to follow the protocols. So we started last Thursday. We committed to crews on Friday, when if you go back and look at the weather forecast, the hurricane was going up the west side of Florida. You know, the storm twisted and turned quite a bit before it got here. But we committed back on Friday to crews.
What was how much of the protocol? For the outages? What was the storm estimate for how many outages you were expecting to have?
It's very hard to estimate based on the hurricane because you just don't know. We know what the past has been, so we hired hundreds of crews in anticipation of this storm.
Did you have an estimate for how many outages?
We did not.
We're saying they're having trouble reporting their outages. Can you offer
There's been some on and off problems with some of our customer systems. Right now, the customers can get information from the web. They can call us, and they can get it, those two ways. We're working hard to resolve those issues, our IVR system is up, and we'll be pushing information, and we'll be providing updates multiple times a day to our customers so they can make the appropriate plans they need to make.
Is it safe to say that this number of outages surprised you, considering that the winds were not over 40 miles an hour sustained and there were no floods?
This is a big event. This, like I say, this is the second biggest event in history of Connecticut.
Why is it the second biggest event? The winds weren't that bad.
The winds were widespread. They were bad. There was now I'm trying to find out if there was actual tornadoes that touched down, but there was many, many tornado watches yesterday. So, you know, respectfully, the winds were bad yesterday, and they were widespread across because the storm went west. Up along New York and the border, the winds were on the east side, and we saw the brunt of those winds.
What's your response to people who say that you should have been more prepared, not with more crews, but with the 10 years of system hardening that we've seen?
We worked very hard to manage and maintain our system, and we, like I say, last year was our best year ever in terms of reliability. We operate the system well. Our employees are dedicated, and we'll work tirelessly till this gets done. And like I say, we understand their frustration, and we're going to get this done as quickly as possible.
Do you find problems with certain municipalities when it comes to your tree trimming? Some municipalities might push back a lot more, saying, no, you're not taking our trees down. You're not gonna take away the beauty, but they still want power all the time. How do you address a municipality that says, no, we're not
going to... We work as...
And there's a half a dozen that you have problems with every single storm.
Yeah, we work very closely. We try to explain the why. We explain how we can help remove dead trees. We try to explain that we're a service, and we try to explain the benefits. And that's the best we can do. We've made a lot of inroads. We've made a lot of progress, and, we'll continue to work on it. So thank you.
Governor, can you give us any status report on nursing homes and other sensitive institutions as to loss of power, availability of generators and whatnot?
Well, we just got a briefing on hospitals, nursing homes, those essential places where we've got to get them up first. And those are obviously a priority for Eversource. And I think...
How many are out? Mr. Halster?
Yeah, maybe, you know, how...
It'd be helpful if you stick around for this. We're talking about the institutions that are especially sensitive, hospitals, nursing homes, and whatnot.
Yeah.
Are there any that are now without power or operating on generation power that require restoration?
I'm sure there's some out. I'm sure there's some on generation. We work closely with our communities and state officials on priority critical loads. We've been addressing some already. We've provided generators to some people. We've expedited some restorations, one to the VA hospital, Connecticut Water. And we continue to do the best we can to get them back as quickly as possible.
Is there any other specific besides Connecticut Water and the VA?
I don't have any right now. It's something we work on continuously through the school.
Governor, can I say one thing? I mean, the three stages to a problem. The first is I got to deal with the crisis we've got right now. And the way you deal with that is with manpower. And I'm going to make sure old Jim and Craig and company, they've told me they're doubling in the next 24 hours beyond that to make sure that we get everybody up and operating sooner, like immediately. Secondly, we'll have plenty of time to debrief in terms of what we could have done better leading up to this storm, measuring the storm, pre-positioning people, and see what we can learn from that. That's why Pura is there, to be able to take a look at it. And thirdly, what was the result of all the investments we've made in the grid over the last 10 years? Did they pay off? Did we make the right investments? And how can we see what bang for the buck the ratepayers got?